Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
Fair play and fair value. It's what playing at William Hill is all about. William Hill. It's who you play with. Gamble responsibly.
Stephon Ladavies, treble winner, and you're listening to Ranks FC.
Hello and welcome to Ranks FC. It's going to take me some time to get used to that. This is our first full episode and we thought we'd bring you something special to mark the occasion. My name is Jack Collins and I'll be your host today and I'm joined by the rank god, Mr. Sam Tai. Sam, how are you?
Yes, mate, I'm good. Just so everyone knows, Jack got the name of the podcast wrong twice before we start. This is the third take. He's stuck in his old ways, but it will take him a little while. But don't worry, I'm here to set him straight whenever he makes an error.
Absolutely. And this feed is going to take over from where BR Football Ranks left off. And for those of you who are used to our release dates, this one's probably going to look a little bit weird, but we are going to be releasing on a Wednesday here from now on. But we had an exclusive interview with Leeds United's Stuart Dallas, and we thought, why not? Why not open the feed with something special? It was a lot of fun to do, wasn't it, Sam? And he's just such a nice geezer.
Yeah, it was lovely. Absolutely lovely. I mean, it's actually quite amusing to listen to him and to speak to him because just before we spoke to Stuart, I'd just been watching a Michael McIntyre comedy sketch and he suggested that the one accent in the world that could probably be binned and no one would miss it would be the Northern Irish accent, which I vehemently disagreed with. And then speaking to Stu only reinforced the fact that I love the Northern Irish accent. And that was, like, we talked to Stu about all sorts of stuff, like important things, Bielsa, football, Erling Haaland. The one thing I came away thinking was, isn't that just a wonderful twang, eh?
It's one of those ones where I think there's an old comedy sketch. It was like, anything you say in a Northern Irish accent sounds dour. And anything you say in a Republic of Ireland accent sounds excited. So you could be like, oh, I've killed my parents and family in a Republic accent. Everyone be like, ah. Or you could say, I've won the lottery in a Northern Irish accent. Everyone be like, oh, I'm sorry about that. And it's just one of those weird kind of idioms and trajectories that seems to stick its path. But it was such a delight. And I mean, just before we get onto it, I suppose it's worth us discussing Leeds as a whole and Leeds this season, because it's been, you know, quite a start to life in the Premier League. And I'd be reticent, I'd be very upset if we didn't discuss Bielsa's start, you know, to life in the top flight.
Yeah, we have to discuss it because I dressed for the occasion. Like I've worn my Bielsa t-shirt. So like we have to, like, what else would I wear for this occasion? We have to give it 10 minutes of thought. I mean, Leeds have been one of these stories of the early Premier League season for sure. I mean, there have been a couple of shocks, you know, Manchester United's leaky defence, Liverpool conceding 7 goals, Chelsea not quite clicking, Aston Villa flying up the table, Everton top of the league with 4 wins from 4, like all sorts of stuff is going on. So you're really vying for a spot here in the narrative. But Leeds United, they are just class, man. They're just box office. They're always relevant, always exciting, always fun. And the 7 points they've managed to get from their game so far, I mean, they gave Liverpool a real fright on the opening weekend, didn't they? Lost 4-3. Then they beat Fulham 4-3. Then they beat Sheffield United and drew Man City. I mean, Liverpool, Fulham, Sheffield United, Man City. Those are tough games. 7 points from that. That's impressive.
Three of 4 of them are tough. from a Fulham fan. It's one of those ones where after the first two games, I was deeply concerned for Leeds United. And I think this is a fair point to make, that conceding seven goals, even if you're scoring seven goals, is incredibly box office, as you say, but it's also not particularly sustainable way to continue a campaign. And especially if you play at Bielsa's breakneck speed, and you look at the fact that aside from last year where there was a huge gap, that Bielsa's teams have tended to tail off towards the end of seasons, you do worry about them if they're going to be that open. But the last two games have assuaged that a little bit. There's something about those first two games where they were so, so open in the middle and teams were cutting through them at will. And let's be honest, as a Fulham fan, Fulham haven't been very good this season. And even Fulham seemed to be cutting through them at will at points. And that worried me, because I was like, well, if you can't defend against Fulham, then who are you going to be defending against? And the last two games, however, have slightly assuaged that. I mean, the Man City game was a bit of madness, and, you know, both teams should have scored and probably should have scored far more goals than they actually did, but it has kind of stemmed a little bit the tide.
I mean, look, both the Sheffield United and Man City games were played on a knife edge. So yeah, your concerns can be a little bit assuaged by the defensive stuff, but like, these were close games. These were really genuinely exciting edge of your seat stuff, which is still not, you know, particularly stable or comforting to look at from, I guess, from a Leeds United defensive perspective. But the Sheffield United game was just like, high level stuff. Like, the combination play, the speed at which those two teams combined and played was incredible. I know it was only 1-0, and maybe people looked at that as a bit of a boring game, but man, some of the play, and it got settled very late on in Leeds' favour. Man City, mate, both teams just abandoned the midfield. There was like a 30-yard hole in the middle of the pitch where no one was stood, and they just went end to end and just went at each other. So in all of the games that Leeds United have played so far this season, there have been some defensive concerns, but ultimately they play, as you say, at breakneck pace under Bielsa. They play expansive and attacking football. They tailor their attacking strategy per game to see what they can get out of certain opponents. And, you know, a lot of the time when you say, oh, you know, you've left the midfield empty or you're so defensively porous, a lot of the time that can be a criticism, and that's fair. But under Bielsa, there's always a rhyme and a reason to it. And obviously it does create these games that are helter-skelter. But ultimately, I think, if the midfield is empty, it's because he's decided that the midfield shall be empty on that day. There's a reason for it. Like, there's logic to it. And man, we're going to speak to Stuart Dallas very shortly about Bielsa being called El Loco, you know, his crazy tactics and things like that. But this is a hallmark of his sides, and they are generally successful. And the 7 points from the four games so far will attest to that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's risk and reward, isn't it? And that's exactly how Bielsa played. In our predictions for the season episode, I said that Leeds would be 10th at Christmas and would finish the season 15th. And nothing that I've seen has changed my mind on either of those things. I think the Leeds, again, I said would fly out of the blocks, and everyone was like, oh, they've got a really difficult start. But I figured this would happen. And ultimately, I think it's just sad that we haven't been able to see Elland Road in full swing. And, you know, I've seen some of the best of Elland Road when Fulham have been there and been in the away, and some of the worst. And, you know, and you see every stadium has its ups and downs, but full and rocking, there are very few places like it in the world. And I think it's a shame that the Premier League hasn't been able to see that, you know, since their return after such a long stay away from the top flight.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, we talk about Elland Road a lot on this podcast, and Dean is often the one extolling its virtues. And you're sad about that, and I get it. What I'm looking forward to really is the fact that we actually haven't seen probably two or three Leeds players that they've signed, you know, in full flow. Like, they signed Rodrigo in the summer, who's a prime age 29-year-old Spanish international forward. He's very, very good. You know, one dodger year last year at Valencia aside, but I'm not holding that over anyone's head. Rodrigo to come into this team full time. We've got Diego Llorente they've signed from Real Sociedad. They signed Rafinha on deadline day from Rennes. Like,
that's a good little signing, that Rafinha, isn't it?
And they've picked up some really good players. So what we're seeing so far is exciting. I think it only gets better. And, you know, some of these issues with Leeds defensively that we cite, you've got to remember that, I don't want to dig the guy out specifically because it will get better, but, you know, someone like Robin Koch, who's come in at centre-back, has made two or three errors,
really
basically.
Rash decisions. It's the decision to go flying in. And look, there was a lot of criticism about whether the challenge on Joe Bryan in the Fulham game was a penalty or not. But the fact that he's gone flying in halfway across the box, it almost, rendered it irrelevant for me. It was like, why have you done that? It's not, even if you haven't clipped him, it's a ridiculous challenge to go and make. But there are signs that he might turn. And, you know, the fact that he's a German international and has played, you know, at the top level does suggest that this will improve for him. And he does look like, there are moments where you're like, oh, he's a very good player. And then there are moments where, like, you've just completely lost your head. A little bit Diego Carlos.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking more like, the one that reminds me of is, remember Alpay? Remember him, the Turkish centre-back? Oh, my goodness me. He used to go crazy. 89 spectacular minutes and then 1 minute where it just went completely nuts. But look, he's adapting to a new league. Like, listen, it's nothing to be too concerned about long-term. The talent is there. Llorente is excellent as well. So, I mean, as I say, a lot of these issues that Leeds have experienced defensively over the first four games, like, I think they'll probably tie themselves up as the players start to adapt and players start to make fewer errors, basically. So there is obviously that element of every game is on a knife edge and they're sort of digging their own grave. But can you see it improving? Well, yeah, absolutely. So I'm not concerned about them at all. You had them in 10th, the preseason predictions. I had them in about 12th or 13th or something like that.
10th till Christmas, then 15th finish.
Sorry. And I had them finishing slightly above that. I think they'll be okay. I mean, everyone talks about Bielsa burnout. I mean, it happened in the Championship to an extent. It didn't happen last year, but they did get given a 3-month break from March, didn't they? So you're not going to burn out if that happens. So again, that's one to watch. I think that's probably slightly overplayed, but obviously something you need to be aware of. And overall, you know, Dean, the man conspicuous by his absence in this podcast, by the way, as we extol the virtues of Leeds United, although he wasn't able to join us for this one. You know, Dean is convinced that it's going to go wrong at some point for Leeds. And you and I don't really agree with that. But then football is crazy. And if there is a team where this goes south for, it probably is a team like Leeds under the management of someone like Bielsa, isn't it? That's the crazy things happen to these kind of teams.
Well, I mean, El Loco being El Loco. Let's get the inside view on it then from Stuart Dallas. And he joined us to talk about a variety of things. But you were most interested in his beard.
I was, yeah. I had a full two campaigns of Bielsa at Leeds to pick from. The pain of the season they did not get promoted, the redemption of last season, filming a documentary during a pandemic, meeting Erling Haaland, swapping shirts with him. And what did I pick to really focus on? The guy's facial hair. I don't know what that says about me, but it is what it is. And here's the interview.
Fair play and fair value. It's what playing at William Hill is all about. William Hill. It's who you play with. Gamble responsibly.
We are delighted to be joined by Northern Ireland and Leeds United stalwart. And finally, a Premier League player, Mr. Stuart Dallas. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
No problem. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. All good. You?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Obviously, the documentary coming out very, very shortly, and Sam is pretty much obsessed, so I'm going to check over to him and let him roll through it.
I mean, by the time this goes out, the documentary will be out, and I have had a look at it, and I'm not just saying it because you're here, Stu, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. There's something about it being two episodes long where it just packs all the action, and it was really good. But the first question is, have you seen it back? Have you watched it?
Yeah, I've seen... I haven't watched... at all, completely, if I'm being honest. These last two episodes I've seen, but even the first six I didn't watch all together, if I'm being honest with you. I didn't.
The first six are too painful.
it just wasn't nice, and it just got to the point where I was like, right, I'm not taking any more of this, I'm not watching it.
I mean, look, in these two episodes that have just come out, you're featuring right at the start. You're talking about the pain of last year. You're saying, look, the fans might think we just forget it, but we don't. You say it was terrible. You know, you said that losing last year was a blessing in disguise. It gave you extra motivation. Well, that clearly panned out quite nicely, right? Because you made it.
Yeah. Well, obviously, looking back now, I can say it was a blessing in disguise. Then it didn't feel like that at the time when the world just stopped and everything came crumbling down around us. It was horrible. It wasn't nice. And I think that's probably why I haven't watched it back, because I know what it was like, and I just don't want to. I actually might watch it back now when I'm in the hotel some night. I might watch it back and think, I know the I know the end of this, but yeah, it's these last two episodes are brilliant. They're very well put together, and you know, the guys deserve a lot of credit for that have put it together. And it's a beautiful story with an even more beautiful ending.
How does it feel watching your interviews back, like just watching yourself answering these questions?
Cringy. I hate watching myself doing interviews, but yeah, it's. I watched it last night with my wife, and she actually cried. Not at me talking, but just at the end, and just everything. It was hard to take everything in, obviously, when it happened, because we were locked away from the fans and weren't able to enjoy it properly. You know, with the people who've been there through thick and thin, and watching it back last night. It was nice. It was, as I say, she cried. I didn't cry, but I cried when it happened.
Yeah. You've already had that crying experience. Yeah, I mean, you touched on it there, but what's it like filming this kind of thing through a global pandemic? I mean, we've talked to people about what it was like playing and the whole thing being weird, but with the cameras there adds a kind of extra element to the fact that everything's going on in this backdrop of, you know, chaos in the world.
Yeah, it was. Do you know what? Whenever I see the episodes and I see the camera above Leeds City Centre and there's no traffic or nothing, I'm just thinking, wow. Like when the pandemic was going on and we were working from home and that, it was kind of just, it wasn't normal. But for me, it was. You know, I was keeping the same routine and just getting up in the morning and going and doing my running, like I was coming to training, and you know, coming home and being with the kids and that. So for me, the only thing that really changed was not being able to take the kids out, you know, to the park or something like that, or to the restaurant. So for me, I just try to keep normality. But when I look back at it now, and you know, the drones up in the air, whatever's taking the picture shots, and the city centre, there's nobody in it. It's just weird. But in terms of like the cameras not being here with us, it was obviously they were here a lot more last year when you know, when they wanted it to end well. But it didn't, so they had to come back and do these two episodes. But yeah, it's nice. It's something that we'll be able to watch in years to come, and our kids will be able to, and our grandkids, and whoever else. And it'll be nice to watch back then.
There's a couple of themes that run through the two episodes. I'm going to ask you about two of them. One serious, one not so serious. And the first one is, your beard is perfect all season. No. How do you do it?
It's not. If I mention my barber's name, he might get a few haircuts.
You'll be charged a commission on it.
Yeah. No, it's not perfect. It took me a long time to grow this.
Yeah, how long?
It took me, I don't know. I'm not really one for like looking after it too well, but
When you're being like covered in champagne, it still looks perfect, Stu. You're doing yourself a disservice. It's brilliant.
Nah. Yeah, it took me a long time to grow it. I just stuck it out. It used to be all patchy and that. So, have you ever seen me without a beard?
I can't think.
Since the Brentford days, no.
Yeah. I don't want to go back to that. Although I look very young. Whenever I'm getting a bit older, I might have to take it off.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be one to drop off it at 35 and drop back into the early 30s role.
Yeah.
One of the other themes, too, is the more serious one is this. There's like a consistent rhetoric. Through, you know, from the Leeds fan base. This is from the fans, to be clear. And it's lasted about 16 years. It's the fact that Leeds have continually kind of failed to achieve their target and get back into the Premier League for so long. You've managed it now. But for a long time, Leeds United did not. And when you were flying high and then a global pandemic strikes, there's fans interviewed in this documentary and they're saying, it's the most Leeds thing that can ever happen. Classic Leeds as it gets. Obviously, you're sheltered a little bit from that. But is this the kind of thing that kind of, it can't help but sink into the psyche of the club a little bit and affects the players maybe more the season before than this year?
Yeah, obviously, when this happened, when the season stopped, we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, we didn't know whether it was going to be stopped for one game, two games. Nobody knew. And we just had to keep ourselves fit, keep training, and so that whenever it restarted, that we'd be ready. And then obviously you hear stories, you know, you listen to the news and for all our sins, and you know, because they report not the most accurate things at times, and yeah, you hear things that the league's going to be void, and then obviously, as you say, the fans start to talk, saying this is the most Leeds thing ever. And yeah, we just had to keep concentrated, had to keep in as best possible shape as we could. And it would have been easy, just, you know, on days, just to get up and think, oh, I can't be bothered doing that run today. And it would have been easy just to sack it off, because nobody was watching you. Nobody would have knew if you'd done it or not. And for us, as you know, as professionals, that we had to continue till do it, because we knew when if the league did start back up, we needed to be in as good a possible shape as we could to be one step ahead of our opponents. And you know, obviously, whenever it did start up again, we were able to do that, and finished it really well.
Sonny, you say, you know, oh, you could easily just not go for that run this morning. I've been saying that for 6 months, actually, and I've managed to pull through on that. So well done for you for getting out for a couple.
You're lucky, you're doing all right. But yeah, it would have been easy just to forget about it and not do it. But as a group of players, we took it upon ourselves till you know, we were always in the WhatsApps and group chats and stuff, saying that, you know, we need to do it now, so that whenever we come back, we're in good shape. And to be fair, you know, we trusted the fitness guys here, the staff that we have. We trusted them till that whatever they were giving us was the right balance and was the right thing to do. And I think that showed in the end.
I mean, it seems like a natural point to bounce that onto to Marcelo Bielsa and to what he's brought to the club. And there's all these stories always about, you know, you don't get away with missing runs or missing training when Marcelo's about, because of the way that he sets the club up. But I mean, what's the truth behind it? He seems, you know, you see in the documentary that he is, you know, quite a mild mannered, you know, a very nice man. And then he gets to game day and he's sitting on a bucket screaming at everybody in sight. And I guess there's kind of a middle ground there as a player where you're seeing both sides of it. But, you know, what's he like to work with?
Yeah, he's probably the best way to describe him is unique. You know, he's different from anybody that I've ever worked under. I'll probably speak for all the lads when I say that. You know, he's, as you say, like you see in the documentaries at the end when we're having that Huddersfield beat West Brom and we're at the stadium and he comes and joins in the moment, and then the next day it's just as if nothing's happened. We just prepare for Derby as if it's as if we're going there to win the league. And obviously, by the time we'd finished training, we had been confirmed as champions because Brentford lost away to Stoke. But nothing changed. It was as if he just flicked the switch and we were back prepared for the game. So I think it just shows that the type of man that he is. He's a winner. He just wants to win, and he wants the best for everyone. He wants to get the best out of everybody. And he's a perfectionist as well. You know, everything's got to be perfect. And as a group of players, we have bought into that since he first came to this club, and you know, it has been hard work, but it's been enjoyable. It's been, you know, when you get the rewards, it's always enjoyable.
So you say you call him a perfectionist there, which is, you know, it's perfect for my next question, really, which is there's all sorts of stuff on the internet about like little things that he's done. His nickname is El Loco. In a good way, like a crazy good guy is what Ander Herrera called him. Lots of little stories like he paces out the width and length of an opponent's pitch before every game to see exactly how long and how wide it is. That he's drenched certain parts of a pitch when he's playing against Barcelona so that the tiki-taka style would be interrupted by wet bits and dry bits. Does any of this sound familiar, or does that sound like a hoax?
To be honest, I haven't... I don't know any, like, obviously you read these things and that, but I haven't seen him doing anything, you know, strange like that. You do see him pacing up and down on the training pitch and making sure everything's, you know, every cone's perfect and stuff, but it's just the way he is. It's, you know, I've had other coaches sort of similar to that. You know, I look back to Uwe Rosler, you know, he was the same, you know, if one, he always wanted you to be in the correct position and stuff. So it's, yeah, it's not, whenever I read things like that, I try to think, have I seen anything? But I haven't really noticed. I'm probably just too busy contemplating on making
What is the craziest thing you've seen him do? Is there anything? I mean, why does he sit on a bucket? Do you know the answer to that question?
I haven't a clue, honestly. I don't know what the story is behind that. I honestly don't know. The craziest thing, I don't know. I think we're just used to him now in these last couple of years. I don't want to say anything and then maybe. Yeah, it's craziest thing for me is probably walking to training from Willoughby. It's a brave old walk.
Yeah, well, it's a fair walk.
It's a couple of miles, like, but it's when it's pouring down rain,
it's not the easiest walk in the world.
Yeah, not the easiest walk, yeah.
Now, well, still, we're going to let you go in a minute. We couldn't let you go without talking about last month's internationals and what happened. And obviously, for us, obviously, there was a real nice moment in Leeds-born Leeds fan Erling Haaland coming up to you at the end of your game against Norway and asking to swap shirts. Now, did he make a beeline for you? Is this something that happened or what's the story here?
I wouldn't say he made a beeline for me. It was just I seemed to be in that position of the pitch when the whistle was blew, but I think you can tell by my reaction. I've just gone to shake hands with him, and he's asked me to swap shirts. Took me by surprise, to be honest. I started to laugh, which probably was not the best thing to do when you've just been beat 5-1. But I thought he meant to do it in the tunnel or in the dressing room, and then he was just like, "Oh, we'll do it now." So he just swapped, and then he leant into me and just said, "Like, marching on together."
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Oh, that's going to send Leeds fans nuts, man.
Yeah, I know. And then he just wished me all the best in the Premier League with Leeds. I think, obviously, there's that connection there with his dad and that. And it would be nice someday to see him playing at Elland Road. I think he's going to go on to massive things. He's going to be a superstar. You know, he's so good. He's so young. And he's going to be major. He's going to be a big player, and he already is, but in years to come he's going to be huge and a global superstar, I think. And it was nice for me. I don't often swap shirts with people, but it was nice for me that he's given me a shirt, and it's a bit big for me. I can't wear it out, it's too big.
I would love
to nip to the shops wearing it, but I can't.
I'll take it if he wants to. It might fit me.
Yeah.
It's like you're going to be Agent Stewart now. Every time there's ever a link, you're going to have Leeds fans all over your DMs asking you to put in a good word.
I've had thousands of people ask me what he said, and that's what he said. So,
well, there you have it.
That's it. You had it here first. But thank you so much, Stuart. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on.
No problem. Thank you.
And best of luck with the season.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much to Stuart Dallas for spending the time to talk to us about Bielsa and about the documentary and about the redemption season and, of course, about his beard. It was all sorts of fun, Sam.
It was. Yeah, it was. I mean, look, as I said right at the top of the interview, like, I know we're kind of being inundated with football documentaries at the moment, and they can feel a little bit dry after a time. This one is just two episodes long and it's just perfect. And I wonder if it maybe sets a little standard for us going forward to really shorten these things down. I'd say Sunderland Till I Die is probably exempt from that, but a lot of the Amazon documentaries, the City and the Spurs one, potentially just a couple of episodes too long. They really nailed it with this Leeds one. Two episodes, one half of a season, pandemic, other half of the season, celebrations at the end. We all know what happens. And it was a really good watch. And it will instill some kind of goodwill as well towards Leeds if you didn't have any already, having watched them play for four games.
Yeah, I think the goodwill factor is high up the charts in the Premier League at the moment. And that's pretty much all from us today. Now, as I said at the top, you know, regular listeners will be potentially a little bit confused by this Thursday drop, but we will be returning to scheduled programming next week. However, if you have enjoyed this and you want more of us than just once a week, we have fired up the Patreon. We are moving to, will always be a free episode on a Wednesday as part of Ranks FC. But if you want more of us, then more of Sam's insight and more of Dean's transfer knowledge and more of stories and games you need to watch and insights into players that you haven't kept an eye on and spotlights
and poems
and
exclusive interviews, then our Patreon is the place to be. We are at patreon.com/ranksfc, and the link's in this description. It's the price of a pint a month. You get 8 extra episodes and a newsletter. We think it's pretty good value, especially these troubling times. So thank you very much to Stuart Dallas, and all that's left for me to do is say thank you very much to Sam Tai.
Yeah, cheers, buddy. Enjoyed it. First Thursday drop. Last Thursday drop, I hope. You got me this morning, Jack, clawed me out of bed to do this. I was not very happy, but always a pleasure to talk to you, dude.
Of course. And if you're joining us for the first time, make sure you hit that subscribe button and share this with your friends, family, and leave us a review and a rating and all the things that everybody asks you to do. But we really do appreciate it, especially in our first weeks when we're growing. This has been Ranks FC. My name has been Jack Collins. We'll see you next week, Rank Squad. Peace.
Fair play and fair value. It's what playing at William Hill is all about. William Hill. It's who you play with. Gamble responsibly.